It's Thursday, 2nd of October 2014. This is HPR episode 1609 entitled, Sigil and the Process of the EPUB Infos. It is hosted by Lost in Bronx and is about 38 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to lostinbronx@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is, Lost in Bronx rambles on and on about his current process for creating EPUBs using FOSS tools.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Lost in Bronx, also known as David Collins Rivera. This episode is, well, I'm titling it Sigil and the Process of the EPUB in Free and Open Source Software. It's a crappy title, but it pretty much tells you what I'm going to be talking about. I want to apologize if the audio is bad here. I'm doing this Dave Yates style. This is recording this on my Sansa clip, and it's clipped to the brim of my cap, and I'm sitting in my car. Recently, I wrote a book, a novel. It's called Street Candles. You can find it on Amazon.com right now and probably other venues in the future. I'm not really going to talk about the book per se. This is about the process I learned in, and this is a breezy overview of the process that I learned along the way, going from essentially bare metal to a finished EPUB. Not all roads lead to Rome. Many do. But many lead out into the wilderness where you can get lost or set upon by barbarians. The EPUB process is needlessly complex, and not just for, free and open source software users. Even people in proprietary software circles, people that only ever use Windows, only ever use, Macintosh, these people have the same complaints that I've had, that I had all along the way. It's not a simple process. It's not straightforward, and nobody has a one-stop tool that really does what they always claim they're going to do, right? Now, Sigil is kind of the FOSS, I'm going to say FOSS, free open source software. I'm going to say Sigil is probably our tool, right? It's the one that we like to use, all right? It's cross-platform. It's in, Linux, Unix, it's on Mac, it's on Windows, and it's very popular. But there are proprietary tools that exists that, even more complex than that one. But even people that use those things, they have many of the same complaints that I've had. It's just not a simple process, okay? Now, this is not an in-depth look at the tools. I'm not going to do that, all right, because I'd be here forever. This is just kind of a thumbnail sketch of the tools that I've learned to use and in what order I use them. And you may or may not find some value in this. I can tell you this, that each tool that I'm going to talk about here, they require their own skills. That is to say, you have to know how to use those in order to use them efficiently, right? So if you hear about something here that you like or it sounds interesting, but you don't know how to use it, I guarantee you it's not going to be as fast for you as it was for me because I'm using the things I know. If there's something here that does the same job as something you already know, by all means, stick with what you already know. Again, every single one of these things, you need to be familiar with them. You need to know how to use them to get, the maximum speed and efficiency out of it. And if it's not, fast and efficient, trust me, it gets really, really annoying really fast. You get bogged down in searching on how to do a thing. You know what you want to do, but you don't know how to do it. That's frustrating, and it's a tremendous waste of time. So whenever possible, stick with the tools you know. Now, Sigil's in the title of this particular episode, so if you're following along on this one, all right, and you're not familiar with Sigil, That's one you can't do without if you're going to follow this format or follow what I'm doing, basically. And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying what worked for me. Sigil, there's a learning curve. There's naturally going to be a learning curve. And I'll talk a little bit about that when I get to it. But that isn't where we start. No, Sigil is pretty much where we end. Where I start is in plain text. All right, I write in plain text. My novel was written entirely in the plain text word, it's not a word processor, but the plain text tool Nano, right? And that comes standard in most Linux distributions and probably most Unix, or and it's certainly available to Linux, you know, every Linux and Unix that I've ever heard of. It's a very, very simple command line tool for writing out text and code and stuff like that. Well, I'm not much of a coder by any means, but I write, and it's a wonderful tool for that, especially if you get really used to using it. Like any tool, and I'm not saying Nano is superior to any writing tool that you may be, you know, you may be familiar with, but like any tool, the more you're familiar with it, the faster you're going to be. And I'm pretty fast with Nano, you know, comparatively speaking. I once sat in front of, I don't know. I installed some new distribution on one of my machines, and OpenOffice came by default. And I opened it up, and I had no idea what to do with it. I'm not kidding. It was horribly daunting to me, horribly daunting. And I had to get out of there, and I had to go back to Nano, because that's what I'm familiar with. If you prefer, I don't know, if you prefer Vim or Vi, if you prefer Emacs, if you prefer OpenOffice, if you're on Windows, if you're listening to this and you're on Windows and you prefer, you know, Office, I don't know what they use on Mac, but whatever that is, if that's what you're familiar with and you're comfortable with it, by all means, that's what you should be using, okay? But I like plain text for a bunch of reasons. Okay, first off, Nano is a very simple tool to use. You know, the learning curve, you do have to get used to some of the keyboard shortcuts, because they're not shortcuts. Those are the way, that's the only way you can, you know, work with them, because it's command line, right? But aside from that, it's a very simple tool to use, right? And the end result is plain text, and plain text can be turned into almost anything. And that is a massive, massive advantage. If you've been burned by proprietary formats in the past, trust me, just go with plain text. Yes, there may be a little bit more work trying to turn it into whatever format you want. But if you go back to it 10 years from now, guess what? You're still going to be able to open it. Okay, and that I've been burned a bunch of times, and I'll bet you have too. So plain text all the way. I recommend that. You can do what you want, but that's what I think you should do. Okay, so we start with plain text, and we write our book. Bam! I've got a book. I've got Street Candles. Bum, ba, ba, ba. Street Candles, by the way, is a science fiction space opera book, and that's about the biggest plug I'm going to give for it. And it is available now on Amazon. Look up Street Candles under David Collins Rivera. That's me. And if you want to, you can check it out. And you can check out the formatting and understand, if you're that interested, understand where I went with it. You know, all these things that I'm going to talk about and that I am talking about, you know, what did I end up with? Okay, so I ended up with Street Candles. And the plain text, once I had that done and I had it, you know, Nano has a spell checker, so I spell checked it all and I did all that stuff. All right. Once that was done, I brought the plain text into, well, first off, no, let me do this. Let me say this. It's important, actually, because you're going to need this later on when it comes to actually putting the EPUB together. Each chapter of your book should be a separate file, okay? That becomes important later, all right? So why not start now? So you have your plain text file. Chapter 1 is one file, chapter 2 is another file, chapter 3, etc., etc. Your introduction, your postscript, you know, all of that stuff. Separate files, each one. Stick them all in a single directory, all their own, nothing else. You're organized, everything's there, okay? Next, what I did was I brought it into the LaTeX Word Document Processor, LYX, L-Y-X. Okay, I said LaTeX, did I say LaTeX or LaTeX? It's LaTeX, okay. The reason I did this, because I wanted to get a well-formatted or a halfway decent formatted XHTML file out of it, from plain text to XHTML, right? So I didn't really do very much formatting at all in Lix, right? I could have, because there are many tools for it, but I didn't. And the reason I didn't is because you can do all of that later on in Sigil, right? And much of it gets lost from the native Lix format when you export into other formats, right? Not always, but often it can happen, especially with XHTML, right? So you do something really good, you format your entire novel using the tools in Lix, and then you export to XHTML, and where did all my formatting go? Only some of it's here. And that's because not everything is supported, okay? So simpler is better. Very little formatting in Lix. That's what I did. Very little, okay? Lix is a typesetting tool. Ultimately, LaTeX is a typesetting tool. It's not for EPUBs, right? Now, they keep talking about having a direct export to EPUB, and I think there's some experimental stuff that's available right now. But ultimately, it's not for EPUBs, okay? It's for typesetting something finished. Now, if you want to produce a finished PDF, Lix is a fantastic tool for that. And of course, if you want to output it into, you know, the various LaTeX formats and stuff, or things that can be derived from LaTeX, it's fabulous for that. PDFs look spectacular in that, especially if you have one of the themes that you can get, you know, they're online, and you can make a particular book look a certain way. And I don't have anything in print right now, actually, in dead tree format. None of my work is in dead tree format yet. But if and when I ever decide to do that, Lix is going to be my tool of choice. Because you can take a PDF and print from it. And if it's properly formatted, it will look sharp. It will look gorgeous. And Lix is a wonderful free software tool to get that job done. All right. Now, when I used Lix, I did do a little bit of added formatting while I was on it. Like I said, very simple. A little bit, okay? I did things like put in a line break. And I used different, you know, titles and things for like chapter 1, chapter 2, and stuff like that. And when those were exported, they more or less kept the same. So that when they were brought into Sigil later on, you know, that was one less step I had to make. All right. Those are very simple, simple things, and they can get converted into HTML code very simply. Now, one of the things about Lix is that you can import plain text and export XHTML. That's a very simple process. It's very straightforward, very fast too, but you can't go back, right? If you have an XHTML thing, it won't import into Lix. All right. Once you have your XHTML, if you do any work on that, you're not going to get that back into Lix if you want to work on it in Lix. So you got to go forward. You can't go back. Now, there may be, you know, it can be done. All right. Yes, it can be done, but not in Lix. You have to use other tools, other methods to format back. Right. It's possible to do that sort of thing through various other steps, but you're going to lose all that formatting anyway. Right, all the formatting that you did elsewhere, it's going to be gone, and you're going to end up probably with plain text or something broken. There probably is a way to convert XHTML into LaTeX code, and LaTeX code can be imported into Lix, but I don't know how to do that. Someone better versed at this sort of thing probably could, but I can't, and I didn't, you know, want to spend 3 weeks researching it. Now then, what is the point of Lix entirely? To get the XHTML or an HTML file at the very end, all right? To go from plain text to XHTML. Well, there are many methods to do that. You don't need Lix. Originally, my first book, it was a novella called Motherlode, also available on Amazon.com. Motherlode, I used the SeaMonkey suite, which has an HTML editor, very, you know, plain old-fashioned kind of HTML editor, you know, integrated into the SeaMonkey suite. And that's what I used for Motherlode, right? The first time around. I redid it when I just recently, and I used Sigil. I used this format. I used this method. And I redid it, and it went, you know, fast and smooth because, you know, I already knew how to do it at that point. But in other words, your end goal is to get HTML or preferably XHTML files from your plain text. And there are probably a lot of ways to do that. And if you're more familiar with another tool, I highly recommend you use that tool to get there, because it's going to be faster for you. It's going to be easier. And Lix is, it's, again, it's not really meant for that. Okay? Yes, it can do it, but it's meant to produce books on its own, right? Just not EPUBs. And, you know, it's an extra step. It's an extra tool that you probably don't need. In point of fact, I have been experimenting with another tool since Street Candles, since I published Street Candles, okay? The other tool is called TXT2, the number 2, HTML, okay? TXT2 HTML. It's a command line tool. It's for Linux or Unix. It does exactly what it sounds like. It takes plain text and turn it into HTML, okay? It also does XHTML. You know, you can give it a flag and it'll output XHTML files. It does some default formatting for you. For instance, if you were to write a sentence in bold, a short sentence in bold, with no special characters in it, space above and a space below, it will automatically put that in bold, right? So if you, I said write it in bold. What I meant is write it in capital letters. Just capital letters, space above, space below. It will put that into bold. It will embold that for you. Now, that may not be what you want to do, but in many cases, when I do that, it's a help to me. So for me, it's a feature, not a bug. For you, it might be the other way around. But because it's a command line tool, it's very fast. You know, a moderately sized plain text file is going to be processed in about a second or so. Something larger will take longer, but not, you know, you're talking a matter of seconds. Okay, and you end up with an XHTML file, which you can then import into Sigil and get some work done. Now then, I haven't done any major work with TXT to HTML, but it's very promising, and I am going to continue working that route. And if I can cut out Lix entirely from this process, I'm going to do it, because Lix, as I've said, is overkill for what I need. Now then, either way that you, whatever method, whatever way you get your HTML file into Sigil, if you were using a real HTML editor, something really good, you could probably do most of your formatting, actual formatting of your text in the HTML editor. If not, you can do it all in Sigil. Okay, and that's what I did. I had a lot of special formatting that I put into Street Candles. And Sigil was able to do pretty much everything I wanted it to do, but that doesn't mean that I knew how to do everything. Okay, there was a huge learning curve, and I only really know a small subset of the skills required to use it. And for that matter, that's true of every single tool I've been talking about. All the way down to Nano, which is possibly the simplest. Actually, TXT to HTML is probably the simplest. But even that, I only know a few of the flags, because that's all I need to know. Okay? But it can do a lot more than that. Now then, Sigil is a big thing. I am not going to give you a real overview of that program. That deserves an episode all on its own, and maybe I'll do one if there's enough interest. But basically, Sigil is a tool to do nothing but produce EPUBs, okay? It's in many of the repos in Linux and Unix distributions now. Even about a year or 2 years ago, it wasn't, but it is now. And it's not that hard to get, even if it's not in your repo. Just, you know, do a web search for Sigil EPUB, EPUB processor, and I'm sure you'll find it. Okay. One of the things about Sigil is it is, because I've been using all these tools beforehand, you've probably come to the conclusion that it is not a soup to nuts tool. You can't go from plain text to a finished EPUB in Sigil on its own. Now, you could use it as a word processor if you wanted to. It's, I guess, fully featured enough, especially if you fully intend to end with an EPUB and that's all you really want. It's an adequate tool for that, you know, assuming that's all you want to do with it. But like I've said before, if it ain't plain text, you're going to be locked into some kind of formatting issue. And down the line, if, say, you wanted to put it into some other format, you're going to be locked into XHTML, which is what the EPUB is made up of. However, that isn't where you are, because if you followed along with me, you have, you know, many versions of your work now. You have plain text, you have XHTML, and now you're going to have an EPUB. So Sigil requires that the files you're importing into it be HTML or XHTML. Now, I say that with quotes, requires, okay? Because it does support plain text. And of course, you can start with a blank page and just type in whatever you want, or copy and paste, or whatever. But it does support plain text, but converting that plain text into the proper formatting, trust me, it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work, because it's not putting in your spaces, it's not putting in, you know, any bolds or italics or any special formatting of any kind. And a modern EPUB has those things, so it would still be a tremendous amount of work. So it's not, honestly, it's more work to work with plain text here than it is to process it beforehand. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Okay, now, what's so special about an EPUB? Why does it want XHTML? Because the X in XHTML refers to XML, all right? And essentially what we're talking about is CSS, or cascading style sheets. And it uses those for some of the formatting of the finished EPUB. And the purpose of that is so that it can flow across different size screens and use different types of fonts, and people can adjust the size of it as they want on their different devices. Because again, you have no control over what device this is going to be read on, right? So it cannot be as simple as a PDF. Now, if you've read PDFs, unless you have a really giant tablet where everything just looks okay on it, if you're reading it on any other tool like that, you know, PDFs are not a great thing to, at least for me. I've never had a really good reading experience with a PDF when it comes to reading a novel or any long work like that. They're very awkward and very difficult to work with. And they're not optimum. They're not optimum because they don't reflow. They're just what they are. They're, you know, they're as close to the author's original vision as pretty much anything else can be. That's what makes them so perfect for typesetting when it comes to printing and into dead tree format, because that's going to be the way you want it to be, in theory anyway. At any rate, yes, you want to know a little bit of CSS when you're walking into Sigil. You know, it does it all automatically for you, but if you understand some of the CSS, and you don't have to be an expert, I'm no expert, I learned a few things in the code part of it that helped me along the way, and it will help you a lot. If you don't understand any CSS, take a month, 1 month, 30 days, and just bomb it. Just look at basic CSS and what it's for and how you can do it by hand, all right? And in that 30 days, you don't use a special editor and all this other, just do it by hand, right? And by the end of that 30 days, you will have all the skills you need, and you won't need anything else in order to do an EPUB. You know, if you wanted a job, you know, as a web developer, that's a different story, and no, that's not good enough, but for this, yes, I believe it would be. Okay, so most of the formatting, as I said before, can be done in plain HTML, not XHTML if you don't want to. However, Sigil wants XHTML, and it will convert your file automatically. You will end up with an XHTML file at the end, and it will have XHTML code in there. All right, so just keep that in mind, because that can be good. It can be very, you know, it can simplify a lot of things for you. It can also screw up whatever formatting you had in mind in advance. That's another reason why it's a good idea to leave any of the major formatting to this step at the end, right? Near the end anyway. And this is your biggest step. It's the longest step, because you have to go through your book from soup to nuts and get your formatting correct. And that's what you're doing right here, okay? Sigil will do some of it automatically for you. It could also screw up some of your work. So just be aware of that. And if you understand the underlying code, if you understand HTML and you understand CSS, again, you don't need to be an expert by any means. You can look up anything you need to know, right? You just can't be afraid to go in there, and you can't be thrown and overwhelmed by it, because then nothing's going to happen. Just understand it enough to know what it is you need to look for out there on the interwebs, and understand what you may need to do in order to fix it. And it goes a long way. It really, really does. Just a little bit of knowledge like this goes a very long way in this particular situation. One of the nice things that Sigil can do, it can do things like embedded fonts, right? So if a particular, like say you want all the chapter titles in one font, while the rest of the book can be either in another font that you dictate, or what's better is, you know, leave it as the default so that whatever device the reader is reading your book on, they can change that into whatever their favorite font is. Whereas the chapter title that you want on a particular font, you can do that. You can embed the font and have just that font. And most of the time, most devices these days will be able to recognize that. There are always exceptions. There's exceptions to everything when it comes to EPUBs. And, you know, but most of the time, you can get good results doing that. So that's one thing it can do. It can embed artwork. It can embed tables. It can embed, you know, it can do a lot of that stuff that you would want a word processor to do, or a, you know, a very simple WYSIWYG web design sort of thing. Sigil is kind of a combination of all that stuff. And it, so it can do some things like artwork and tables and, you know, a couple other things like that. And, you know, and they're, and it's easy to do. It's very easy to drop those in. There, you know, there are buttons right there and you can just blop, put it where you want. Okay. It can do table of contents. It can create a table of contents for you. You can make that table of contents invisible. That is to say, as someone's thumbing through the book, they don't see a table of contents, but if they search in their device for a table of contents, one will pop up. That's what I did for Street Candles. That way people don't have to go through pages and pages and pages of table of contents, because most people don't care about that unless they're looking for something in particular. So it's there if they want it. If not, they're not going to see it. You know, and that, but you can do it the other way too. You can put it right there and make it, you know, a table of contents that people can see and use and interact with at all times. That's up to you. And it's a very simple thing to do. It also does bibliographies. It can do an index. It can do a lot of stuff. And there are add-ons and all sorts. Like I say, Sigil deserves an episode all on its own. But to, suffice it to say that there are many of the tools that you need in Sigil to produce a novel. Or even many nonfiction works. You can move stuff around in any order you want. You can rearrange the chapters. You can put the table of contents where you want. You can do anything. You can put it anywhere you want. One of the complaints about Sigil that I've noticed in various forums and blog posts and things like that is that, well, essentially, it's not a, how do I put this? It's not a designer's tool. Now, if you're someone like a web designer or a graphic designer of some sort, this is not the tool for you, okay? Because it's not powerful enough. There are some proprietary tools out there, and they're fine, you know, probably better for something like that. But there are a lot of books that, like a novel, generally formatting is not very complex, but there are a lot of books where they are. Anything like an art book or a coffee table book of some kind, this is not the tool for that. This is not the tool for that. And you'll have to find some other way to produce your final EPUB. There are other books or other styles of books that are not especially easy to work with. Business self-help books can be very difficult because they have a lot of, you know, a lot of small tables and a lot of indented blocks and a lot of special formatting and sometimes a lot of small graphics. And it's very complex. I've seen some really bizarrely complex books that are like that. And this, again, this may not be that tool for you. You know, it just may not be powerful enough, or maybe it will take such a learning curve to get it to do what you want it to do that it would be easier to use something else or even pay somebody else to do it, to, you know, entirely. However, if you go the Sigil route and you've done the things as I've listed them out in my rambling manner here, you've ended up with an EPUB. You have your book, okay? Now, there are other things you're going to want in there. You're going to want a cover. You can import a cover into Sigil, and it, you know, it's its own thing. It's a cover. It's not just a plain old graphic. It's a cover. What are you going to use? Well, I used Inkscape. So that's another free software tool. I used Inkscape to create a cover for Street Candles, and bam, there's my cover. So there, I'm done, right? I'm all done. Well, yes and no. Yes, I have a book. Yes, it's up on the interwebs right now, just on Amazon. But, eventually I'll have it elsewhere when I figure out what I'm going to do. But I can tell you that one of the things that you should do and that I should do, you should have yourself an editor. If you can't afford a real editor or a line editor, you at least should have a proofreader. Professional proofreader is better, but if you have a friend or loved one who's willing to give it a shot, that's good too, especially if they're a really good speller. I didn't have those things. I didn't have it available. I couldn't afford an editor. I couldn't afford a proofreader. I couldn't afford anybody but me. All right, so it is what it is. And there are typos in it. And that's not great. And they're the kind of typos that a spell checker is never going to catch. For example, the word council and counsel. One is spelled with an E-L at the end. One is spelled with an I-L at the end. And they mean two separate things. I got those mixed up. And if you read Street Candles, you'll see where. And I do it repeatedly. All right? And it's those kind of mistakes that no spell checker is going to catch for you. And that's why you want another set of eyes on this thing. I did the best I could. And it's not bad. And I don't think it's so horribly rife with typos that it's unpleasant to read. But all of these tools are still not enough. You still need help. You still need someone else to look at it. You can't catch it all. You think you can. You can't. Trust me. So that is essentially it. Now, I know it's very complex, and I know it was a buttload of information, and it's kind of rambling. And I apologize for that, but I usually work from a script for this reason exactly, because I do tend to ramble and forget things. But if you have any questions about anything I said, or about, if you need clarification or my opinion about something that I talked about today, then feel free to contact me. I'm at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX at Gmail. And I hope this was at least partially of value to at least some people out there. If you take anything at all away from this, take two things. One, plain text is better than pretty much anything else for long-term use. And two, Sigil is pretty darn good for novels, all right? It is pretty darn good. And if you haven't looked at it before and you have an idea for a book, I think you should take a look. It's really worth your time. And I said there's only two, there's a third one. This process is not simple, and it's not straightforward, and it's a lot of work. It's ridiculous, frankly. It's ridiculous. This process is needlessly complex, and it's because there is no soup to nuts tool. There is no easy command line tool where I put in plain text and get a beautiful EPUB formatted the way I want at the end. It's impossible. It can't be done that way. It takes a lot of hands-on, It's like building a website, right? Yes, there are automated tools, right? But we've all seen websites that were made with automated tools, and they're awful. They're not good enough. They're tools meant to be used by people who already know what they're doing. I can't say that I already know what I'm doing when it comes to producing a finished, quality-looking EPUB, but I'm getting there. And the tools that I just talked about were the method I used to get there this last time. My next book, which should be out, Lord only knows when, next year, year after, I'm not sure, I'll probably have a different workflow and a different set of tools that I'll be working with. In which case, I'll come back and I'll talk about those and talk about what I learned. But right now, it's a process that has steps, and you have to plan them out. If you're not prepared, you are going to be one of those people lost in the wilderness and running from the barbarians. And I guess that's about it. Thanks for listening, and take care.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.